Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechim Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Gimel. Immediately, you will notice a triangle, and in fact, as you skim down the page, you will see numerous triangles. We introduced these triangles in our last shiur. We pointed out that we had started on Daf Beis a series, a very long series, of sources that begin with the expression Hakol and whatever follows, hakol chayovin or hakol something else. The word hakol is an expression indicating that the source is trying to include more than that which is mentioned explicitly in their respective sources. So each time the Gemara presents one of these sources, we have marked them with a triangle, and following the triangle, a double underline under the expression la'asuye will happen time and time again, at which point the Gemara says that the expression in question is coming to include something that's mentioned after that word, la'asuye. Let us now continue with the Gemara, continue with the series, starting three lines from the top. Hakol chayoven bezimun. The Mishnah in Maseches Brachos says that everyone is obligated in the mitzvah of zimun. Zimun is the benching, is a special bracha that's added to the Birkas HaMozon when three people are benching together. So everyone is chayav in this aspect of Birkas HaMozon. La'asuye mai, who is included by the hakol expression? Answer, la'asuye noshim vavodim. This includes women and slaves. Desanyo, noshim mizamnos la'atzmon. The avodim mizamnin latzmon. A group of women can do the zimun bracha when they are by themselves. Likewise, a group of slaves can do a zimun bracha when they are by themselves. There is much more to each one of these sugyos, each one of these triangle sources, but each topic is dealt with elaborately in their respective locations. So that this issue of Birchas HaMozon and Birchas HaZimun is the subject of a lengthier discussion in Maseches Brachos in the 7th Perek, which deals with these issues. But as far as our Gemara here in Maseches Erechin is concerned, we're focusing on what is the word Hakol coming to include. We continue with our series, Hakol Mitztarfen LeZimun. That is, if you have two men that ate together, and a third party comes along, so they join up. Who is the third party that's being referred to by the word hakol? Answer, la'asuye koten hayodea lemi mevorchin. It comes to include a minor who knows unto whom we are directing our blessing. Namely, he is aware that we are blessing the Almighty for the food he has given us. The Omer Rav Nachman, koten hayodea lemi mevorchin, mezamnin olav, a koton, a minor who knows to whom we are directing our brachas, so he joins together with the zimun. We could point out that Tosfos mentions that as far as practical halacha is concerned, as far as from the Tosfos standpoint, we don't follow this, but rather we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who appears in the Yerushalmi, that says that that minors don't join up to complete a unit of three for zimun purposes. Continuing in the Gemara, Hakol mitamen beziva. Everyone is capable of creating tumas ziva. La suye mai, who is included? Zifo is a reference to an emission, a male emission that the Gemara, the Torah, refers to as Zifo. As far as the details of this emission, it's not important for our sugya right now, but what is important is that the Mishnah there says that everyone is capable of creating Tuma Zifa. Who is included by this expression? The Gemara answers, Lasuye Tinok Ben Yomo. A child, even a newborn child, if he experiences this emission, the Ziva emission, he will be Matama Ziva. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that features the background for this particular conclusion. The Posuk in Vayikra, Tes Vav Posuk Beis, says Ish. It actually says a double expression, Ish. Ma tam lomar Ish Ish. Why does the Torah use a double expression, Ish, in Vayikra Perek Tezvav Posuk Beis? L'rabos tinok ben yom echad shemetame beziva. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the double expression shows that even an infant of one day old, of one day of age, if he experiences this emission, so this emission creates the Tuma referred to. Rabbi Shmuel Benoi Show, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Eino Tzorech. He says that you don't need this double expression as the source for the Tinok Ben Yom Echad. Harehu Omer, there's another pasuk that says, V'hazov es zoivoy lazachar ulenekeva. This is in the same perek, but it's pasuk Lamed Gimel. Lazachar, in this pasuk, equals zachar kol shehu. Whatever age he may be. Zachar, bein koton, bein godol. Whether he be a minor or an adult. Lenekeva, kol shenekeva, bein kitana, bein gedola. So just like we see by Zachar, we say here, Zachar, kol shehu Zachar. Whoever is a Zachar, whether he be a koton or godol, so to nekeva, whatever age she may be, whether she be a youngster or an adult. Im kain ma tamom or ish ish, if we're including even minors, even children, infants, so why does the Torah use the expression ish, especially the double expression? So this opinion says, it's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, says Dibra Torah Kaloshin B'nei Adam. The Torah speaks or communicates in the way common people speak, and people, for the purpose of emphasis or in common speech, double expressions from time to time. So too, the Torah, in doubling its expression, ish ish, isn't coming to reveal some particular new point of law. Hakol mitamin betomei meis. This is, you can see, our 14th triangle. This source refers to tuma that is experienced by having contact or being in the same overshadow or same location as a corpse. So la suimai, who is included when you say that everyone is mekabel, becomes tomei meis, everyone can become tomei meis, who is included? La suye koton, this comes to include a minor. Now why do you need a special reference to include a minor? Salka daita chamina, without this source telling me that even that hakol, to include a minor, I would have thought ish asher yitma v'lo yischata, ish in koton lo. When looking at this posuk in Sefer Bamidbar, it says an ish that becomes tomei, and that posuk is in the context of tumas meis. So it would sound like ish in means an adult, yes, koton no, but to the exclusion of a koton, a minor would not be subject to tumas meis. Komash malon v'al hanafoshois asher hoyusham. There was another posuk. This is posuk yudches of the same perek, and it mentions the nefoshos asher hoyusham, which includes a koton. Nefoshos meaning people, of any age. Elo ish lemute mai. If we're including as being subject to tumas meis, even minors, so the use of the word ish, which is an adult, to what is he coming to exclude? Answer, limute koton mi kores. It's coming to exclude a minor from the penalty of kores, that if a minor, let us say, became tomei meis, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash, an adult who is tomei meis enters the Beis HaMikdash, he will be chayev the kores penalty. But a minor who happen to be in the same situation, he won't be chayav the koreis penalty, and that's learned from the Torah's use of the word ish. Hakol mitamin b'negoyim lasuimai. Everyone is subject to tumas negoyim. Negoyim is the realm more commonly known, or at least as commonly known, as tzara'as. This is a reference to skin discoloration that leads to a form of tumah called tzara'as. So the source says that everyone is subject to this type of tumah, to tumas negoyim. So lasuye mai, what is this coming to include? Who is included? Lasuye koton. We've seen the koton being included in many of these teachings. So here too, we're including a koton. Well, why do I need a special reference to include a koton? Ish ish in koton lo. The Torah makes a reference to an adult that becomes a mitzora. And I would have thought that's to the exclusion of a minor, komash malon. Therefore, I need this source to tell me that we're not excluding a minor. Well, let's try to press the point and say, yes, that ish means an adult alone, not a minor. So the Gemara answers, Odom kie ba'or besoro, mikomakom. The word Odom doesn't indicate specifically an adult. So we see from this pasuk that any human being that happens to have this skin discoloration is subject to tumah. The elo ish lomali, if that be the case, then what does ish in fact do? What do I need the word ish for? If ish is not limiting tzaras to adults, then what does it do? Answer, lichidisanya. I need it for the following teaching. Ish. Ish is again the word from the pasuk. Ein li elo ish. I would know only a man. Isha minayin. From where do I derive that a woman is also subject to the laws of tzaras? Kishu omer vehatzorua hare kan shnayim. The Torah says vehatzorua. This indicates that the Torah is addressing someone else, another person. And that's a reference to the woman. Im kein ma tamar me ish. If that be the case, so then what does ish accomplish? Answer, the inyan shel mata. It's a reference to that which appears later in the section dealing with tzaras. And and in that case, there in fact is a limitation where women are excluded. What's this inyan shel mata? What is being referred to when we say the topic mentioned later on? Ish porea uporein v'ein ho'isha poras uporemes. This is a reference to laws of a mitzora, where if you're dealing with a man, so porea, he leaves his hair grow wild, and poreim, he rends his clothing. A woman does not do these things. He doesn't, the porea has to do with the uncovering and exposing of his hair, and it's a growth, it's additional growth. A woman doesn't do those things. Ish ein ho isha poras uporemes. So as we mentioned, the difference between a man and woman, as is referred to by the term ish, is that an ish porea, he has a halach where he must let his hair grow, and poreim, he rends his garments. And an isha, that is a mitzoras, she does not do this. She doesn't have a chiyuv of having her hair grow, nor to tear her clothing. Hakol royin es hanegoyim. Hakol ksheirim liros es hanegoyim. We have sources that say that all are fit to judge or to rule concerning negoyim. Lasuye mai, who is this coming to include? We should point out that according to the Torah law, it is, you need a kohen to rule that something is a nega. So we certainly cannot take this literally, that everyone, all people are fit for viewing and ruling upon negoyim, when we know at the outset that it's quite limited to the kahuna. So who is being included by the expression of Hakil over here? Answer, Lasuye She'eno Boki Bohen Uvishmosehen. Someone who is not expert in the nature of Negoyim nor their names. There are a number of different Negoyim categories, so we're saying that even if someone is not expert in their nature nor their names, he is fit for looking upon and judging something to be a Nega. The Gemara asks, how could you say that? V'amar, hasn't it been stated, Eino Boki Bohen Uvishmoseim Eino Roa Es Negoyim? Someone who is not expert in their nature nor their names, of the names of the different kinds of Negoyim, he cannot view the Negoyim and hence issue a ruling. Ravino answers, Loi Kasha, Ha Demasbri Leva Sovar, Ha Demasbri Leva Lo Sovar. A person is considered fit, kosher, for viewing and rendering a ruling on Negoyim if he is someone that you can explain to him the laws of Negoyim, and he then absorbs that which he was taught. However, if someone who you try to explain the laws of Negoyim to, and he didn't understand, didn't comprehend it, so he is what's referred to here as Eino Roa. He is unacceptable. This next source deals with Pora Aduma. Pora Aduma was a red cow that was, if it was completely red in the terms of its color, it was used, its ashes were used for the purification of someone who was Tomei Meis. In order to achieve purification, the ashes of a Pora Aduma were taken and mixed with water. The mixing of the ash and water is called Kiddush. So the source says, Hakol Ksherim Likadesh Lasuei Mai. It says everyone is included or is acceptable for the mixing or the adding of the ash to the water. So now the Gemara wants to know, Lasuei Mai, who is being included by this Hakul? So the Gemara answers, there are two parts to this answer. Aleph, the Rebbe Yehuda, Lasuei Katan. According to Rebbe Yehuda, it's coming to include even a minor. And L'Rabbanan, Lasuei Isha. According to the Rabbanan, it's coming to include a woman. Tisnan, here we have a Tanaic source in which these two opinions are featured. Hakol Ksherim L'Kadesh. Everyone is fit for adding the ash to the water drawn from a live spring, which eventually will, when mixed, will then be used for purification of a Tomei Meis. So everyone is kosher for Lekadish. Lekadish means adding the ash to the water. Chutz Mecheri Shoyte V'Koton, with the exception of these three categories of people, a Kherish, a deaf mute, a Shoyte, an imbecile, and a Koton, a minor. So according to the Tanakama, we can't say that Hakol is coming to include a minor. Therefore, he says, the Chachamim say, is coming to include a woman. Rebbe Yehuda, Machshi B'Katan, Uposel B'Isha B'Androgynous. Rebbe Yehuda, he says, a woman and an androgynous are excluded. So, according to Rebbe Yehuda, we can't possibly say that Hakol is coming to include a woman when he says explicitly she's excluded. So, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the Hakol includes a Katan, a minor. Hakol Ksherim Lahazos. This is the next stage in the Pora Aduma water ash situation, is the sprinkling of the water ash mixture on a person who was Tomei Meis. So this source is telling us that everyone is fit for the sprinkling, to provide the sprinkling on a Tomei Meis. So Lasuei Mai, who is included? Lasuei Oreel, Uchid Rebbe Elazar. It's coming to include someone who is uncircumcised, as per Rebbe Elazar's teaching. Dom Rebbe Elazar, Oreel Shehiza Haza Oso Kshera, an uncircumcised person who does the Hazah, which is the sprinkling application of the water on the client. According to Rebbe Elazar, an Oreel who does it, Shehiza Haza Oso Kshera, the Oreel sprinkling is acceptable. In Maseches Chulin, there are two Mishnayos that say Hakol Shochatin. So we want to know, Lasuei Mai, these two Mishnayos in Maseches Chulin, both of whom open up with the expression Hakol, who is being included? So chado lasuya kusi, one mishnah is coming to include a kusi as being suitable for shechita. V'chado lasuya yisra mumar, and the second, the other source is coming to include a rebellious or renegade Jew. As far as the details of this, as well as many of the other sugyas we saw referred to, are the focuses of a discussion in their respective locations. So we will go on for the time being. Hakol Malin Laretz Yisrael. This is a mishnah in Maseches Ksubis, which means that everyone can force to go up to Eretz Yisrael, to settle in Israel. Lasuye Mai. So who's this Hakol coming to include? Lasuye Avodim. Rashi at the top says, Lasuye Avodim, Shim Yesh Lo Eved Kenani Mohu Bimkor. If a person owns an Eved that was previously a non-Jew, but he became an Eved, and he was circumcised for the purpose of establishing him as an Eved. So if you have an Eved Kenani Mohu Limkor, Verotzo Eved Shelo Yimkren Olo Beretz Yisrael, and the Eved, let's say, he insists on being sold to someone in Israel. So Koifin Esrabul Aloso, if you have this Eved who's outside of Israel, and he says, I don't want to be sold to anyone outside of Israel, so we force the master to comply with his request. We continue in our Gemara. Hakol, it's a V'ein Hakol Motzian. We should go back to the top line of the Gemara. Ulaman Ditoni Avodim Behedya. According to the version of the Mishnah in Ksubas stating Avodim explicitly. So you see there are two versions of how the Mishnah in Ksubas should read, but according to the opinion that has Avodim stated explicitly as being Koifin Eretz Yisrael, so then Lasuimai, what is Hakol coming to include that hasn't been stated explicitly? So we answer, Lasuye Minevei HaYofe Linevei HaRa'ah. From a pleasant place in Chutz La'aretz to a less pleasant place in Eretz Yisrael. So that Hakol, when the Mishnah says Hakol Ma'al in Eretz Yisrael, we're saying even if it's a function of going to a lower class neighborhood, but it's in Eretz Yisrael, that can be forced. V'ein Hakol Motzin Lasui Eved Shebarach Michutz La'aretz La'aretz. The Mishnah there says that not anyone. Ein Hakol Motzin can force the leaving of Eretz Yisrael. So what's included in that? It's referring to a case of an Eved Shebarach Michutz La'aretz La'aretz, an Eved who ran from his master from the diaspora into the land of Israel. And under such circumstances, he cannot be returned from Eretz Yisrael to the master outside of Eretz Yisrael. Hakol Ma'al Yerushalayim. This comes to include the Hakol expression here, includes going from a pleasant neighborhood outside of Yerushalayim to a less pleasant neighborhood in Yerushalayim. This can be forced. The Ein Hakol Motzien and Ein Hakol, the Hakol cannot force the exit. This comes to include going from a poor type neighborhood to a better quality neighborhood, but it's in Chutz La'aretz, therefore that cannot be forced. That's what's meant. Even if the conditions in Chutz La'aretz as far as dwelling are concerned are better. At this point in our Gemara, you see a new marking. Now, we already introduced this when we opened up on Daf Beis and mentioned that a new series would be found. This is explained on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. You see the diamond is featured. Havlotas HaMitzvah. So if you skim ahead on the page, you'll see, in addition to Sukkah mentioned here, later we'll have Tzitzis, after that Tefillin, and after that Shofar, and we will continue with this list onto Daf Dalet Omid Aleph as well. Onto, we should say, yes, that's right, Daf Dalet Omid Aleph. We have also, in addition to the diamond that highlights the mitzvah, we use a double underline with dots in it to highlight the expression Kol Levim Yisraim. So as you skim ahead, you see that that expression is repeated a number of times. In addition to those markings, we'll also have a house form around the expression Sakudai Dechamina, which is Havlota Sahavamina, an emphasis on what the Havamina should be called Dugma. What was the Hava Mina in each example that as to what I would have thought had the sources not spelled out Konim Levim V'Yisraelim. So we continue now. Hakol Chayovim B'Sukkah Konim Levim V'Yisraelim. So the Gemara asks Pshita, it's obvious that Konim Levim V'Yisraelim are Chayov and Mitzvah Sukkah. Ihani lo mechayvi, if they weren't chayev, man mechayev, who would be chayev in Sukkah? Let us glance at the Rashi, at the fourth line from the top. He says, Pshita, al hashto dorish hakol lasuyemai. Up till this point, from Daf Beis till now, the Gemara was figuring out what is the hakol expression and all of this, these different sources coming to include. Ome hashto dorish hanoch the toni. Now the Gemara goes on to focus on the, all those sources where Kohen Levim Yisraim were specified, the Koboi, Pshita, and the Gemara will ask, well, if these are, wouldn't be Chayev, then Ihanach lo l'chayev u'man l'chayev, then who would be Chayev? So it's, when you say Hakol Chayev in whatever, there's no real need to specify Kohen Levim Yisraelim. If they weren't chayev, then who would be chayev? So it's obvious that they are chayev. That's what the Gemara is asking. Yepshita, ihani lo mechayev, iman mechayev. If they weren't chayev, then who else would be chayev in Sukkah? The Gemara says they have to be spelled out. Kohanim, it's dericha lei. It's necessary to spell out that kohanim are chayev in Sukkah. Sakadai tachamina, hoyol uksiv vasugus teshvu. Since it says in the Torah that you shall dwell in the in your sukkah, v'yomar mar teshvu ke'ein toduru, and the Gemara darshins teshvu means dwell in the sukkah like you would dwell in your house. Ma dira bein. Now here we have two ways of learning the Gemara, either with the existing girsa or with that which it says on the inside margin. So we're going to go with the inside margin girsa for the first read through. Say ma dira bein bayom bein balayla, just like a person lives in his home, whether it be by day or by night. Af sukkah bein bayom bein balayla. So too, the fulfillment of sukkah is at all hours of the day, whether it be day or night. So that is the basic law regarding sukkah. The hani kohanim. However, with regard to the Kohanim, Hoyo Ubnei Avoda Nenu Lo L'chaivu, since during the holidays all the Kohanim descended upon Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash to work in the Beis Hamikdash. So since they're since part of their day is duty bound to the sacrifices, they're Bnei Avoda, so they cannot be in the Sukkah certainly by day, and therefore I would have thought that if someone isn't chayav by, if someone can't fulfill it by day, so they're not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah at night. So the kohanim, since they're bnei avoda, maybe they shouldn't be chayav. Komash malon. So the Gemara goes on and says that here we have this source telling us need a patiri b'shas avoda. Granted, they're exempt while they are doing the avoda. They're doing the beis hamikdash sacrificial service. Below shas avoda chiyuvim mechayva. However, if they're not in the midst of serving, so they're obligated to fulfill mitzvah of sukkah. Midi dahave ahochei drochim, just like people who are travelers. Diomar mar hochei drochim bayom pturim in asukkah. Hochei drochim bayom, people who are traveling by day, pturin min asukkah bayom, they're exempt from sukkah fulfillment during the day because they're on their journey. And the Torah, in fact, says that you're supposed to treat sukkah as you would your normal life. And just like in normal life, you go on the road and don't come back home for the time being, so too, the hochei drochim bayom will be pturin min asukkah bayom. The chayovin balayla, but when they're not traveling, so they're obligated in the mitzvah. So too the kohanim, they may be serving in the Beis Hamikdash, but service is done by day, not by night. So the kohanim are chayav in mitzvah sukkah, even though they can't fulfill it during the daytime hours. Continuing in the Gemara, hakol chayovin betzitzis kein levim v'israelim. Everyone is obligated to have four tzitzis on their garments, including Kohan Levim Yisraelim. She thought they were asked the same kind of question. It's obvious that Kohan Levim Yisraelim are chayav in tzitzis. So the Gemara says, Kohanim, it's dericha lei. I need to emphasize that Kohanim are chayav. Since there is a pasuk that says that you're not allowed to wear shatnez, but you are expected to make tzitzis. In this pasuk we see shatnez positioned together with gedilim, which is a reference to tzitzis. So I would have thought as follows: Man delo ishtri kilayim legabe bilavisha. Who the mechayev mitzvah tzitzis? Someone who is warned against wearing kilayim, like the pasuk says, lo silba shatnes. Someone who is warned against wearing any kilayim, so he is obligated in gedilim tazachon in wearing tzitzis. V'hani kohanim hayo v'ishtari b'kilayim u'bayo. When it comes to kohanim, we know that there is an allowance the Torah makes for kilayim. Kilayim is shatnes. And that's with regard to the avnate of the Kohen. The avnate, a type of belt that ran around the midsection of the Kohen, that was supposed to be made of shatnez. So when it comes to the Kohanim, since Kilayim is allowed by them, so lo lechayvo, maybe they're not chayav in tzitzis. Once again, the pasuk that we cited just a few lines up created a relationship between the prohibition of shatnez and tzitzis. So we're assuming that only one who, generally speaking, is prohibited from shatnez, so he will be obligated in the midst of tzitzis. However, kohanim, which are not bound by the prohibition of shatnez, which they do wear shatnez, and that's Torah ordained, based on the fact that they do wear shatnez, so I would have thought, without this Tanaic source, I would have thought, so they are exempt from tzitzis. So let's read that again in the Gemara. After citing the pasuk of Lo Silba Shatnez Gim Tasecho, we say, Man delo ishtari kilayim legabei blavisha, someone who is not allowed to wear kilayim, wear shatnez, it's mixed threads. So someone like that, who the mechayev mitzvah tzitzis, someone who is prohibited from violating kilayim, he is obligated tzitzis. V'hani kohanim hayo v'ishtari kilayim l'gvayo. When it comes to kohanim, though, since there is a Torah allowance for wearing shatnez, and that's in the form of the kohen hedyot's avnate, so lo l'chayvu, since they are not prohibited from shatnez, maybe they're not obligated in tzitzis. Komash mulon he d'ishtari b'idon avoda. So we answer that, granted that there's an allowance for them to wear shatnez while they are doing the service. Belo idon avoda lo ishtari. However, if it's not the time of avoda, so they're not allowed to wear the shatnez. And as a result of this, Kohanim too can be classified as those that are duty bound to observe the mitzvah of shatnez. And as such, they are expected to have tzitzis. Hakol chayovim b'tfilin chayovim Yisraelim. She thought, once again, the Gemara asks, after you tell me everyone is obligated to wear tfilin, so who is, what is the purpose of telling me that chayovim Yisraelim are chayev? So the Gemara answers, after asking pshita, kohanim itzterich lei. There is a need to spell out that kohanim are chayev in tfilin. Why is there a need to spell that out? So here we have a long answer. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a tuff that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the answer. So, without the source specifying that Kohanim or Chayev and Tefillin, I would have thought, maybe not. Salka daito chamina, hoyol uksiv ukshatun lois al yodecha, voyulutet tefos bein einecha. Since the Torah writes that you're supposed to bind the tefillin on your arm and on your head, so I would think like this: Kol di isei b'mitzvah diyad, isei b'mitzvah derosh. Anyone who is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of the tefillin that go on one's arm, so he is obligated in the mitzvah of rosh, v'hani the tefillin that are placed on the head. Kehanim, we know, are not bound to the tefillin of the arm. Dichtiv, it says regarding Big Day Kehuna, it says, Yilbash al Besaro. Shelo Yehe Dover Chotzeitz Beino Uvein Besaro. This teaches me that there cannot be any interposition on one's arm if he's a Kohen and the Big Day Kuna, which is supposed to be lying on his flesh without anything blocking it. So I would have thought, Emo b'mitzvah derosh nami lo l'chaivu, that since the Kohanim can't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad because of the necessity or the requirement of the garments of the Kohen to be touching his flesh without any interposition. So I would have thought, well, since there's no mitzvah of yad, so there's not going to be any mitzvah of rosh for them either, for tefillin shel rosh. Komash molon delo ma'akvi adodi. So this source is an allusion to that the fact that the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad and is not binding upon with regard to the tefillin shel rosh, and rather they are two separate mitzvahs. That's what the point of this source of Hakol Chayovim b'tefillin Kehanim v'im Yisraelim, that even Kehanim are Chayov in tefillin, and not to think that since they don't wear a tefillin shel yad, so they also won't wear a tefillin shel rosh. That's not true. Kedisnan, the source bears this out. Tefillin shel yad einu makevas shel rosh. The presence of tefillin shel yad does not restrict the fulfillment of the tefillin shel rosh. The shel rosh eino ma'akeves shel yad, and likewise the other way around, the tefillin shel rosh is not ma'akev on the tefillin shel yad. So at this point, we have an answer as to why is it necessary to teach ma'akol chayavim b'tefillin chayavim v'yisraelim. To point out that even Kohanim are chayav in tefillin, at least with regard to the tefillin shel rosh, where there is no problem of chatzitza. The Gemara now delves into a detail concerning this last point. Umay shno diyad dichtiv yilbash al besoro. What is different about the tefillin shel yad that we say doesn't wear the tefillin shel yad because the pasuk says that the clothing shall be yilbash al besoro directly. The clothing must be directly on his flesh. And not being blocked by tefillin that are wrapped around his arm. So the Gemara asks, "Umay shno diyad dichtiv yilbash al besoro?" What is different about tefillin shel yad that we say a kohen does not wear the tefillin shel yad because the pasuk says that he shall wear the big day kuna on his flesh? Rosh na miksiv, regarding the tefillin shel rosh, there's also a pasuk that would lead us to think that he should not wear the tefillin shel rosh. It says in the pasuk, "Vesamta hamitznefes al rosho," that you're supposed to place the mitznefes, which was a special head covering of the kohanim. So it says that it's placed on his head. Tona, sairo hoyanira bein tzitz lemitznefes. There was hair of the kohen's head that could be seen between the tzitz. The tzitz is the golden head plate that was worn by the kohen gadol. So there was a strip of hair that could be seen between the tzitz, which sat, relatively speaking, lower on his head, let's say on his forehead, and the mitznefes, which was his head, his head covering, call it his hat, his turban, that was placed higher up on the head, above the tzitz, higher than the tzitz. So the being that the mitznefes of the kohen gadol, the head covering of the kohen gadol, was higher up on his head, higher up than the tzitz, so that left room for hair to protrude. And that's what this source says, Tana, Sairo hoya nira bein tzitz lemitznefes, shisham meniach tfilin. So that his hair was visible between the tzitz and the mitznefes, which served as a place for the tfilin to be placed. So what do we see from here? We see that the kohanim, even though they could not fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad, they are nevertheless obligated to see to it that they fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh. Hakol chayovim b'tkiyas shofar, kohanim v'yisraelim. Everyone is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, even the kohanim v'yisraelim. Pshita, it's obvious. It's obvious that kohanim v'yisraelim are chayav in mitzvahs tkiyas shofar. So the Gemara answers, pshita, asks Pshita, and the Gemara answers, Koinim itzdri chalei. It was necessary to teach this for the purpose of emphasizing the Kohanim. So here, too, the Gemara explains the Hava Amina. Salkadaita Chamina, I would have thought, without this source, Hoyol uksiv yoim trua yelochem. The Rosh Hashanah is described as the day of the blast. Yom Trua shall be unto you. Man de lesse ela betkia de chad yoma chayav. He who has only one day of hearing the shofar, so he will be chayav on Rosh Hashanah. Vahani kohanim hoyel the isnu betkia kula shasa. The kohanim hear the shofar blowing every day. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, "Uskatem b'chatzosros al lezechem." As the Torah, the pasuk is saying that as the korban ola is being offered, the chatzosros are being sounded. So I would have thought, "Emo lo lechayvu." These kohanim, which don't have one day, the pasuk says, "Yom trua yelechem," one day of hearing the shofar. Kohanim, though, are not people that have a one day hearing of the shofar. They hear the shofar all the time, as the pasuk says, "Uskatim b'chatzos ala losechem." So, since they hear it on an ongoing basis, so I would think that they're not chayev in the mitzvah of shofar of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara, so we just explained what the Hava Mina was. Since the shofar is used during the offering of korbanos, this pasuk says during the offering of korban olos, so as far as the Kohanim are concerned, Rosh Hashanah isn't the only day, it's not the Yom Trua, the day of Trua blowing, of shofar blowing, we hear, the Kohanim would hear it all the time. And as a result of that, we developed this Havamina that since they're not one-time listeners of the shofar, therefore they're not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara asks, "Me dummy, how can you compare what you see in this pasuk to the issue of shofar blowing? Hasam chatzotzros, hacha shofar." In the case of the korbanos that the pasuk referred to, it said uskatim b'chatzotzeres ala seichem. That's a chatzotzeres. It's a horn, a musical instrument. It a chatzotzeres like trumpets. Hacha, but the issue of Rosh Hashanah concerns shofar. So how can you even raise this pasuk as a possibility of why Kohanim would not be chayav in shofar blowing when this pasuk isn't dealing with a shofar at all? So the Gemara explains, Itzrich, I still need this. Sahudai Tachamina, Hoyu Tnan. Since it's taught as follows in a Tanaic source, Shava Hayovel Rosh Hashanah Litkia Ulebrochas. The Yovel year, we're talking more specifically when the Yovel year enters, so, and it happens to enter on Yom Kippur of the 50th year. So that day is similar to Rosh Hashanah Litkia and Lebrochas. They both have shofar blowing, even though Yom Kippur in general doesn't have a Torah-sanctioned shofar blowing, but the day that the Yovel sets in, that day, which is on, as we said, it's Yom Kippur of the 50th year, is similar to Rosh Hashanah with regard to the mitzvah of Tkia and Brochas. Brochas is a reference to the Shmon Esrei that contains within it Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros, which are part of the Rosh Hashanah davening, Rosh Hashanah, the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So, too, the day that the Yovel sets in on the 50th year. So, that's what we see as far as the Mishnah is concerned. So, the Isei b'mitzvahs Yovel, Isei b'mitzvahs Rosh Hashanah. This source parallels Yovel to Rosh Hashanah. So I would think that he who is chayav in the mitzvahs of Yovel is chayav in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, of hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The lesse b'mitzvahs Yovel, lesse b'mitzvahs Rosh Hashanah. Someone who is not bound by the rules or the laws of Yovel, so he is not bound to the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah and hearing the shofar. When it comes to Kohanim, since they are not bound to the mitzvahs of Yovel, what does that mean? They're not bound to the mitzvahs of Yovel. Disnan, Kohen Levim, Mochrim Le'olam, V'goyalim Le'olam. When it comes to land sales, Kohen Levim can sell Le'olam, means even during the Yovel year itself, which is unlike the way the Torah, is unlike the expectation the Torah has of non-Kohanim Levim, where they cannot, if they sell during the Yovel year, the sale is considered void. There are no sales during the Yovel year for the rest of the population. Another thing about Kohanim Levim is that they are goyalim le'olam. That's what it says at the top of Daf Dalet, which means, unlike regular people, the non-Kohanim who conduct a land sale, so the person who sold his karka cannot insist on it being sold back to him in the event that he regrets or whatever. He cannot insist on it being sold back to him within 2 years of the initial sale. This, however, is not the case with Kohanim Levim. As soon as they sell property that they legitimately own, they can insist on it being sold back to them. So we see from here that the Kohanim and Levim are not included in the standard rules of Yovel. So, Eima b'mitzvahs Rosh Hashanah nami lo l'chaivu. Maybe they're likewise not bound to fulfill the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, of the shofar blowing of Rosh Hashanah. Komash molon. So this source that said everyone is chayav in mitzvahs in tkiyas shofar, this source is coming to tell me as follows, that Nehi de lesnu bashmotas kaka. Granted that the Kohanim aren't bound by the same rules of hashmotas kaka. Those are the laws we made reference to before about land sales. However, bashmotas ksofim b'shiluch avodah miha isnehu. But with regard to other aspects of Yovel, Kohanim are like the rest of Klal Yisrael. That has to do with hashmotas ksofim, the freeing of debts, and the shiluch havodim, the sending free of slaves. They are similar to the rest of Klal Yisrael with regard to these two halachas. Therefore, the association we made before anyone who is bound to the rules of Yovel, so he is bound to the rules of Rosh Hashanah, so true, the Kohanim are bound to the rules of Yovel. Granted, maybe not with regard to Hashmotas Karta, but they are common to the rest of Klal Yisrael when it comes to Hashmotas Ksafim and Shiluach Avodim. So, being that that's the case, I understand that they are bound to the laws of Rosh Hashanah as well. And those Kohanim Leviim are, since they're included in Yovel, they're also included in hearing the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.